I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 152 for the weekend starting 9 September 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about what else? The iPhone 7.
And of course, the new watch. Plus, ADSL prices come tumbling down. Chwane Wi-Fi to be reviewed by the new DA mayor. And the latest on the Spectrum debacle.
Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Joburg is looking like a dust bowl.
Yeah, is this pre-rains, wind and dust? I really hope so.
I hope so too. But so the wind is really howling today and the sky has gone white with dust. We're recording outside as always, but hopefully the wind doesn't cause too much interference with our recording today. We've got a fancy mic, so hopefully it'll be all right.
But on a brighter note, it's a good day for outdoor photography, so grab your cameras, kids.
Yeah, indeed. But before we get into the show, and there's lots to talk about, particularly that new iPhone, we should do our quiz.
Yes.
Richard, do you want to do the first question?
Sure. Question number one. What popular augmented reality game is coming to the Apple Watch?
By the way, the questions are quite easy this week.
Question two.
What did Apple's Phil Schiller say it took to drop the 3.5mm audio jack on the iPhone 7?
Question number three. Apple quietly pulled the plug on the high-end gold Apple Watch Edition. How much did it cost?
A SpaceX rocket exploded on the launch pad on 1 September. It had an important payload attached to it, which was also destroyed. What was that payload?
Yeah, that was a big one. And the last question. This week, the largest ever IT acquisition was concluded. Who was buying who?
Well, that's the quiz. As always, we'll give you the answers to the questions at the end of the show. But Richard, let's get kicked in at this iPhone announcement. You've got a brand spanking new iPhone 6S sitting in front of you right now, which you've just bought.
Just got it, yeah, and it's still new. Put a nice screen protector on it. It's beautiful. But yeah, certainly I don't have buyer's remorse at all. And when I went in to buy this thing, yeah. I knew that the iPhone 7 Pro probably not going to be the device I need right now. I do use the iPhone socket a lot, not just for plugging headphones in, but when I'm traveling long distance, it goes in, my GPS is on, so I need to power and get audio at the same time.
Right.
Without any adapter. So for me, that is a pretty big thing.
So you deliberately bought the 6S and did not wait for the 7 because you knew there wouldn't be a headphone jack.
Yeah. I mean, the rumors were kind of, you know, big enough. We knew that it was going to be the case.
So where does that leave you, though? You've been a long-term iPhone user. The audio jack is now gone from the iPhone. Does that mean you're no longer going to purchase an iPhone again?
No, I don't think so. I mean, iPhones generally last me that 2-year cycle. After 2 years, something generally happens and I tend to upgrade. I think I'm confident enough that by the time I upgrade, most of my devices would be compatible with some kind of really cool wireless Bluetooth audio technology so I'm not really worried about it.
So you don't mind fitting in with Apple's plans here?
Look, I mean, if I come to the 2-year mark and I still need to use the audio jack and the option isn't available on the iPhone device, I might have to have some serious reconsiderations. But as I see it now, I think technology will certainly catch up enough for me to then have a solution by that time. But for now, at least, you know, I have some microphones that I plug in there when I do some interviews with people.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. I don't want to replace it. I mean, I bought some of that equipment less than a year ago.
Yes.
So when the 2-year cycle is up, you know, if the solution isn't there, I'll reevaluate my position. Mm. But, you know, the iPhone 6S is still, in my opinion, a great device. You know, the best iPhone Apple's ever made with the socket, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an iPhone user and haven't been since the iPhone 4, I think it was, or 4S. Excuse me. But I've got quite a different take on this. I actually won't buy one of these because I think Apple has pulled a move here that is in the interest of its revenue and not in the interest of customers.
Mm.
I think that what they've done here is they've done away with the audio device in order to benefit one of their acquisitions, Beats, in order for them to sell more accessories. I don't think they've done this in the interests of the design of the phone or in the interests of technology advancement. Mm. And I was really taken aback when Phil Schiller took to the stage at the keynote and said that it took courage
that was a bit
to
of a
remove
joke.
The 3.5mm audio jack. Now, what takes courage is going to war for your country,
yeah.
Or something similar. Removing an audio jack on a piece of consumer technology is not what I'd call a courageous decision.
Yeah, look, I certainly can't argue with any of the points you made. You know, but if I look at it from a consumer point of view, I know how many people are just going to adopt it purely because yeah. they follow Apple. You know, yeah. And I think Apple is so confident with that user base.
Yes.
If you look at the amount of money their customers spend, if they were willing to spend upwards of, you know, $10,000 on an Apple Watch,
yes,
I'm sure they thought our customers will buy into this too, which
yes.
you know, in the larger scheme of things, I don't agree with.
Yes,
because so many devices, especially third-party peripherals, and there's some really good stuff for the iPhone out there
yeah.
that make use of the 3.5 mil jack, and all those companies are going to have to license their technology.
Yes,
and the price of the product is going to go up.
Yes, yes, indeed. I heard a very good joke this morning, by the way. How do you milk sheep? With iPhone accessories.
That's brilliant.
Anyway.
That's brilliant.
Anyway, the phone looks really great. I mean, it's not a major upgrade over the iPhone 6S. So if you've got a 6S, you probably don't get this unless you're a real camera buff and you really want that camera in the 7 Plus, which does look really nice, by the way, the dual cameras.
Which is a 7 Plus. I mean, I don't even use a 6 Plus at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to have to kind of change your phone habit if you want to get that really beautiful camera.
Yeah. Although the basic seven's camera is very nice as well. It finally has optical image stabilization, which I would argue should have been in the 6S.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a great phone. But the camera tech on the 7 Plus really does look good. I mean, if what they were showing on stage is actually the sort of images that you can capture with this device, then it really is something special.
Oh yeah. But look, again, I find it hard. It's one of those things. You know, you can probably justify an upgrade if you want to. But if you look at the current, even the 6, going far back as that, the cameras are really good for a camera phone.
Yes.
And for 99% of what people use it for,
yeah.
like sharing up online.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna need more.
Yeah.
But I think this does raise the bar in terms of, you know, the photographers that go out there using their phone to shoot the odd pic,
yeah.
and now being able to do so much more with it,
yeah.
you know, especially with the two
Although
lenses.
If you're a pro photographer, then you're not going to shoot with your phone. You're going to have a DSLR for that, I suppose. Although
you don't carry your DSLR.
You don't always carry your DSLR. Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, I never carry my DSLR. I don't even carry. I'm actually selling my old little compacts now because I find that I never take these amazing full frame sensor cameras out.
Yeah.
But I use my iPhone instead.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's fine for all of the photographs that I need to take on the go, at least, you know,
yes.
the basic stuff.
Yes, yes. What else struck you about the keynote?
Look, I mean, the...
On the iPhone specifically.
The fact that nothing much has changed in the design, the fact that they've made it splash-proof was quite nice. You know, I thought it's a feature that's long overdue.
Yeah.
Splash-proof.
What did they mean by that?
Splash-proof.
But did they say what the IP rating was? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. They said that the watch was 50 meters.
You probably don't go swimming with this thing, right?
No, you don't. No. I did see a headline online today that said that Apple's warranty doesn't cover water damage still. So I don't know what that means for people that accidentally get water damage on their iPhone 7.
Mm. But Interesting.
Yeah, look, in processor performance, obviously that was improved. Not that much over 6S,
incremental performance on everything. I mean, the battery life, they say, is you'll get about 2 hours more a day out of it. I mean, what's the battery life on your 6S? How long does it last for?
It lasts for most of the day in my usage scenario. I mean, it's always plugged in some way, shape, or form.
Heavy.
Yeah, it's just quite heavy. I mean, I'll probably get to 6 o'clock in the evening. I unplug it probably at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So a full day of usage for me. And I guess my usage varies depending on where I am at the day. But I do have a battery bank that I use to top it up. So the battery power is the battery life on that isn't bad enough for me to say, okay, it's an issue.
It's not a deal breaker, yeah.
One of the other things I liked, or two of the other things I liked about the new iPhone, was the stereo sound, which was quite interesting, something that was, again, long overdue.
Yeah.
What I don't think was such a good idea is the home button now being... It's not a physical button anymore, from what I believe.
Oh, isn't it?
It's got tactile feedback in it. So as with the screen,
yeah.
you know, when you press down on it, you get that feeling of a press.
They call it taptic touch.
Taptic, yeah.
Whatever that means.
So, yeah, that's what the home button's like. Now, obviously, it takes up a lot less space. There's no breakable features, but yeah.
So what else? More LTE bands? Which is good. Not that we really have the networks here in South Africa to support that.
But the adapter, the wonderful adapter you get, so because there's no 3.5mm audio jack, you now have to use an adapter or lightning port headphones, which is what they're now bundling in the box. So you used to get the beautiful white 3.5mm audio headphones. They're now lightning, so you can't obviously charge your device when you've got that in. But apparently there will be some accessories, $20, $30, $40,
I'm sure
that will allow you to to do that, which will be a bit of a, you know, you don't carry those things with you. All that you need, set of headphones and your phone, you know, or 3.5mm cable, generally speaking, or somebody's got one.
So a new watch as well, waterproof, so you can go swimming with it, unlike your new iPhone. And most importantly, built-in GPS at last. Although, what was really interesting during the keynote, I don't know if you noticed this, Rahat, they didn't once mention battery life, which suggests to me that it's a problem. Otherwise, they would have said something about it. They would have said the same battery life, or the either improved or the same, like they always do with other devices, like they did with the iPhone. They didn't mention battery life, which makes me suggest the fact they put a GPS chip in this thing has made the battery life worse.
Well, I would expect the battery life to be the same. I mean, considering, you know, new technology, better batteries. But you're right, the fact that I didn't mention anything, well, in my mind, could mean that either nothing's changed and they actually don't want to talk about it because it's not that amazing to begin with. Or, like you said, people are going to be worse off. I'm still not a customer for the Apple Watch.
Me neither.
It's a nice-looking device.
I think if you do sports, you want a dedicated sports watch. You don't want this.
Exactly. It's not going to last nearly long enough. But I think for the casual runner or the city runner, you know, if you look at your New York City kind of citizen,
sure,
those are the kind of people I think this would be work for well. Or this is definitely the market.
But if you're a comrades runner or you trail runner across mountains or whatever, then this is probably not the device you're looking for to do that sort of monitoring.
Exactly.
But as a if you're an occasional runner, or if you want a smartwatch and you're not a runner at all, then you know that's worth considering, I think.
Although
there's some really compelling alternatives on the market. I mean, the new Samsung Gear 3 has just been released, which is a very nice looking watch. It's round, not square like the Apple, which I think is a better form factor. Huawei's got a beautiful watch out as well. So there are quite a few on the market that really look good. Motorola, of course. The new Nike watch they've announced in partnership with Nike. I've asked a couple of people what they think of it, and the general reaction has been ugly. I don't know. It's quite. It's certainly striking. Big bold yellow on the screen.
I think there's a massive market for that. I mean, if you look how well the Fuel Band did.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even really a kind of mature technology back in the day.
Yes.
Just the fact that you. I mean, it's the same price, so.
Yeah,
we can swap out the band. You get the beautiful black body, which will is a little bit unique to the others in the range.
I mean, it looks kind of like a TomTom running watch to me. Actually, it looks like something TomTom would have designed.
It's that band with a bright green color.
And I think it's the font on the screen as well. It's quite TomTomish. They like that big bold numbering.
Boldness.
The price that thing's coming into the market. Would you go for that or a TomTom?
I'm still not a customer for this kind of thing. Really, my phone does everything I need.
Yes,
I've got a bike computer that I use to track my sport. If I was a runner, I'm sure.
A lot of casual runners actually just run with their phones. They
Strava it.
They put a strap on their arm and put their phone in it. It'll cover on their arms and run with that.
Yeah.
With Strava. Which works fine.
Which is fine. Yeah, exactly. And you can listen to music while you do so.
Indeed. So the Apple Watch Edition Gold version is gone.
Yes.
Obviously, they weren't selling too many of those. I guess the Swiss watch industry can breathe a sigh of relief. I was actually interested in that. I mean, we ran a story on that this week. The top end version of that sold for $17,000, which at the current exchange rate is about 235,000 Rand before taxes. So if you're going to get one of these through the iStore, I'd imagine you're probably looking at over 300,000 Rand for this watch.
Does it come with Apple Care at least?
Now, does Tim Cook deliver it personally? But you know, at that price, are you going to buy something that's going to be obsolete in 18 months, or are you going to buy a piece of Swiss craft
engineering, yeah,
a Tag Heuer or another really high-end watch that will become an heirloom.
I think,
you're going to buy an Apple Watch.
I think the sad reality is that there are so many people with so much money that
that's true.
Dropping 230,000 rand on a device, it's like buying those Ventus,
yes,
which was basically the skin Nokia's at one point.
Yes, yes.
There are people that buy it. I mean, they don't have to manufacture many. I'm sure the executives all get one of these because it's kind of the prize piece. They give it to a few celebrities. It's it's more marketing than anything else.
Beyonce has one, I think.
Yeah. But I must be honest, the white one, the new watch edition.
The ceramic one.
Looks much nicer than the gold, I think.
I think so, too. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper, too. I think it's... How much is that one? I think it's about $2,000.
Yeah, yeah.
No, $200. I think it's about one...
pre-order, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the price now. $2, something like that. $1,200.
Yeah, $1,200 for the 38mm and $1,300
for the 42. Yeah. And it's a very nice looking watch.
Just give me your credit card data to see what it looks like.
Order one quickly.
And you have to get Apple Care separately, so...
Oh, really? Oh,
$99.99.
Yeah. No. You probably do have to pay extra for Apple Care on the gold one.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, the 200, I can't imagine they sold too many of those. You're right, there'll be rich oil sheiks and people with so much money that don't know what to do with it that probably bought one of those.
Yeah.
But then, as a friend of mine pointed out the other day, actually rich people don't tend to waste their money. So they probably would go and buy the Tag Heuer or whatever the...
But there aren't many wise rich people out there. If you look at these celebrities in Hollywood, you know, I'm sure they drop... Somebody's going to buy...
No,
maybe a marketing company buys them one and then it's a gift. And
yeah, true.
It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, I think it's time to take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. So, big cuts in ADSL prices this week, Richard.
Yes, there's been some very interesting announcements. But, you know, in all fairness, I haven't really been keeping a track now that I'm a fiber user. Data is really becoming inconsequential to
me. You don't really care about those plebs left on DSL, copper cables.
Copper, what's this? You guys copper. Fighting them. Anyway, no. But, it's a big win for DSL users.
And it is.
Now effectively becoming cheapest chips.
Yes, yes, cheapest chips. I like that. I think we might make that the name of the show. very, very aggressive price cuts. And it's not just AfriHost, which announced yesterday that they'll be offering up to their capped users 18 hours a day of effective unlimited use from midnight to 6 p.m. But we've also seen Web Africa cut their prices quite aggressively, and a couple of other smaller ISPs. Crystal Web was one name I saw, although I don't really know them. It's all the result, I think, of this reduction to wholesale prices that was announced by OpenServe, which is the wholesale arm of Telkom, a couple of months ago. It's taken some time to filter down into retail prices. But I was having a look at the prices on both the Web Africa and AfriHost websites, and the price of ADSL, I mean, I haven't used ADSL for the past, I'd say, year or so, because my line at home fell over and Telkom couldn't fix it. So I've been using LTE in the interim, but the prices are really aggressive now. You can get an uncapped package for about $100 a month, if not less, and it's remarkably cheap. Even uncapped packages on VDSL are quite cheap these days. Just compared to just a year ago, we're talking 20%, 30%, 40% down.
Absolutely. Do you remember 29 rand a gig when AfriHost first launched that as one of the first breakaways from the normal pricing?
Yes.
Looking where we are now, I mean, now you
can
get...
remarkable.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's absolutely. I mean, I used to be so, you know, so cautious of the data that I used, knowing that I'm on Captain account. I used to use about 300-400 gigs a month, and I would still monitor it. But now,
I don't even
look at it anymore. It's actually scary.
Yeah,
how we take it for granted.
I'm just having a look at Web Africa here, because they were actually the first to cut their prices, and they're offering a 4 megabit per second uncapped deal for home users at 185 rand a month.
Sure.
That's remarkable.
That is nice.
8 megs uncapped for 249. Now obviously that doesn't include the Telkom line rental.
Sure.
But still, that's a very good price.
And none of these guys really shape a lot of this data, do they? I mean, is this shaped?
I think on ADSL a lot of it is still shaped, especially on these home packages, I suspect. I find that on the fiber packages there doesn't seem to be much shaping at all, though.
Yeah, my uncapped account, there's no shaping or
at all.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. I mean, I get more than my allocated data allowance or data speed.
I mean, it's a couple of weeks now until I get Vumatel at home, and I've been looking at the Vumatel.net website to compare packages, and there's some really good prices there, and I noticed some of them, many of them in fact, say like Cell C Fiber, Vox Telecom and others specifically state there's no fair use policy on this, there's no shaping on this, just go crazy.
I think they've got so much, there's so much data available now.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, and also with the amount of pipes always increasing, you know, we always, you know, there's this continual data improvement happening. I mean, this is just going to explode.
World class stuff, actually.
I mean, I'm on a 20 meg package now, and I'm just looking at the Vumatel portal. I'm paying about $8.99 for uncapped.
Yes.
2020, which is 20 meg down, 20 meg up.
Yeah.
I've been considering to go up to a 50.
Yeah.
50.
Yeah.
Which I will only pay 250 rand more for 30 gigs, 30 megabits per second more. On my connection.
That's very good.
Which
I'm looking at a symmetrical 50-50 connection.
Yeah.
The Vox Telecom deals look very good, so I may go for one of those. I think they had one for 1295 for an uncapped 50 meg symmetrical.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And that includes mobile data from MTN and free voice calls to any network.
Oh, that's great.
I think it's unlimited, if I'm not mistaken.
Jeez.
So quite remarkable, actually.
And I mean, again, I have to emphasize, because it's been such an amazing thing, but it does change your life. If
you
all of a sudden have, you know, so much speed at your disposal. I mean, I work with lots of large graphic files and video and stuff, so it's obviously changed my life. But even the basic stuff, if I look at how my wife's using the internet, and when she Skypes her family overseas and all that kind of thing, or FaceTime, you're getting an HD picture now, and you're sending an HD picture because your connection can handle it.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
What I like is, as well, you can, if you have a Telkom line, you can port your landline number to a VoIP provider. If you're on Vox, for example, you can get that Vox Superphone, port your number to Vox, and people can still call you as if they're phoning your landline when they're actually phoning you over fiber to an IP number.
Yeah, these are the things we've been dreaming about for the last decade or so. Now we have it.
It's happening.
But now, Mike, my other question is, when you upgrade from, say, a 20 to a 50, The next step obviously is 100 and a gigabit, right?
Yes.
I mean, obviously the prices jump significantly, but it's so tempting. I don't know if you'll really see the benefit for everyday usage, but
you probably don't need more than 50 at this stage.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think going from 20 to 50 is good if you've got multiple HD streams running in your house
all the time.
And that sort of thing. I mean, you can easily get away with a 20 meg connection as well.
I'm just looking at the first one coming up here. That's actually not bad. 100 meg, 10 meg up. 100 meg down, 10 meg up. Okay, it's a 75 gig capped account.
Oh, 75 gig. I don't want that.
Yeah,
75 gig on fiber is going to disappear very quickly.
I'm just looking at the Vumatel portal here, and there's a massive... I mean, when I signed up first, there was only a handful.
This
Vumatel
portal is fantastic, because you can do a straight-up comparison of all the ISPs.
Yeah, yeah.
The Cell C deals are very good.
What's nice about the Cell C deals, and that's why I signed up for one of them, is that you basically get everything free. Installation.
Fox does the same thing.
Vumatel installation. Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you can get one of those, you're saving yourself 2 or 3 grand.
You're just locked in for 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already on month 4 or 5. I got 3 months free as well, because I just launched the package.
Okay.
So it was a really good deal.
Very
for
good
me.
Deal, yeah. Oh, and you get a SIM as well with Cell C.
I don't even get that, so I must have missed it. But I won't use it. I mean, you've got so much data.
So, yeah, it's only a gig a month. Yeah, I mean, 5 years ago, 3 gig of data on mobile. Cheers, no, who cares?
But at 1499, so that's 600-700 rand more than I'm paying at the moment.
That's 100 up, 100 down.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's ridiculous, actually.
And that's unshaped, uncapped, no fair use policy.
Yeah, yeah. I've been surprisingly happy with them, I must be honest. As a service provider, they've been very good.
And what's their router like?
It's a Huawei router, yeah. And I mean, I've got two range extenders in my house, some very cool plug-in range extenders,
yeah.
From, I can't remember, I think it's a TP-Link.
Did they supply that?
No, I bought that separately, okay. But I mean, it works with any Wi-Fi, and sure. With the combination of just having that router, it's also got a LTE failover, but I don't really use it. I mean, what's nice about fiber is when there's this outage, and I've only experienced this twice,
uh-huh.
They're so quick to fix it. There's actually, unless you kind of
Vumatel
running
it. Fixes it.
Yeah, Vumatel. Yeah. So when there's a line break somewhere, or whoever your service provider is, they generally, because they don't have to, you know, have complex fixing. You just basically splice back a piece of fiber. Which
How often is it broken?
Only twice in the last 6 months that that's affected. And that was due to other contractors breaking. And it happened far away from my neighborhood.
Okay.
But I think with all the digging happening around, I think some of that has impacted it. But I haven't experienced an outage. It wasn't like I couldn't access anything because it was fixed so quickly.
Vumatel has just finished down a neighborhood and I was absolutely gobsmacked at how quickly they did it. They came in here, it took them 3 weeks and they were out again. But it's impressive the speed at which they've come through.
It just shows you what can be done when there's a little bit of will behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will make a bet that within a year, once you get fiber, within 6 months to a year, you'll probably upgrade to a gigabit a second.
A gig?
Yeah, I think you will just want to have it as a showpiece and just say, I've got it.
Yeah, the prices, unfortunately, when you go from 100 to 1 gig, go up massively.
Well, I'm just looking at I don't think any of them
are uncapped.
No, these are not uncapped, but yeah. I mean, yeah, you'll...
So MWeb is the only one that offers capped 1 gig. And it's okay, 2,500 rand a month. Not as much as I thought.
But it's 500 gigabytes.
Oh, it's only 500 gigs of data. Okay, that's expensive.
I mean, I'm sure.
Why price it so high if it's limited by the amount of data?
I think they're still trying to keep it. They don't want everybody on the. They want to give everybody the best package.
Yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't really cost that much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you will be using a lot more data. That's for sure.
You will, but it's capped, so it doesn't matter. I mean, they're giving you an allocation per month, and how you use that shouldn't matter. It shouldn't have a big impact on the speed. Sure, there's probably a small impact on in terms of the cost, in terms of provisioning you with a 1 gig connection, but is it really justified 2,500 rand a month for a 500 gig allocation?
Yeah, maybe not yet. I mean, you'll find lots of servers. The local routing is going to slow you down so much.
So that's a gig. That's a gig down and 100 megs up. And that's the only option from Vumatel at the moment through MWeb.
I don't think many servers actually do more than 100 meg up inputs. Yeah. If I do,
I don't know how useful it would be to have that anyway. Because I mean, are you really going to be able to get a gigabit connection under undersea cables as well?
I think 100 meg should be the highest. Highest you should get. But I think 50 would be. To be honest with you, 20 is more than enough for most people.
Yeah, it is. I'm going for 50 because I'm being greedy. I can get away with 20, to be honest, but. But 50 would be great,
Because it's the downloading documentaries and stuff, open source.
It's a symmetrical
very,
I like.
Very quick,
it's a symmetrical I like. Being able to dump something on, if I shoot some 4K video and I want to put that on YouTube quickly, I can do it with 50.
That has been the most amazing, and using servers like Dropbox. I mean, everything in my life is on Dropbox, really, backed up there. And backing up large files is so easy. It's so quick. You don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I often actually dump big files onto OneDrive now across LTE, and the LTE is about 8 megs to 10 megs up, which is pretty decent, and it goes up at a reasonable speed. But I tried to dump a 40 gigabyte file on OneDrive the other day, and I had to leave it overnight. It'd be nice to be able to just dump something that size and then come back in half an hour and it's up.
Yeah. Well, we're getting closer every day.
Indeed, it's quite exciting times actually, and the wind is calmed down at last, which is nice. An interesting chat I had with the new spokesman for the new mayor of Tshwane, the DA mayor, Solim Samanga, earlier this week, about Tshwane Wi-Fi, which is obviously the Wi-Fi that's been deployed across the city by Project Isizwe, the non-profit that was retained by the previous administration under the mayor. What was his name? Josienso Ramakopa. They've done quite a good job there rolling out that infrastructure across Pretoria. But it's been somewhat controversial in that it's been taxpayers who funded it effectively through the through the city. Cape Town has gone for quite a different model under the DA administration there. Now, the new mayor of Tshwane has announced that they're going to do a review. He's going to do a review and he's going to meet with Project Isizwe to discuss this project and presumably to find out whether it should be reconstituted in a different way, whether it should be cancelled, Whether it should just be continued along the same line. They haven't made any decisions about it at this stage, and those meetings are still going to take place. But it's interesting that one of the first priorities of the new mayor is to look at the Wi-Fi project there. And it's going to be interesting to see in a couple of weeks or whenever Msimanga gets around to actually having a look at this and making a decision how that project changes. Is the funding model correct for it? You know, you speak to Alan or Craig Jr., who started Project Isizwe, and he'll talk up about how absolutely critical it is for municipalities to fund this sort of infrastructure and that it gets citizens online. But there has been some criticism of the model and whether the Project Isizwe or the city of Chwane model is really sustainable and whether taxpayers should be paying for it. But I think it's going to be instructive and interesting to see what comes out of that review. We should know hopefully in the next couple of months probably what the outcome of that is. And just lastly this week, I had an interesting chat on Monday with the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services, Siyabonga Ncwele, about the spectrum situation. And I know I spoke about this in a lot of detail in the last week's episode, and if you're interested, please go back and listen to last week's show for that detail. But government is really pushing ahead with this plan to create a single national wholesale open access wireless provider. And he basically confirmed that and said he wants MTN and Vodacom, both of whom are very critical of this plan, and who want the ICASA approach to go ahead with the spectrum auction. So the whole thing is going to court, as you know. The minister taking ICASA to court over this decision to go ahead with the spectrum auction. Both sides seem to have hardened their approach on this. The minister basically saying earlier this week that we'll see them in court. Very worrying situation, but unfortunate, I think, that neither party seems to be willing to sit around a table and hammer out a solution, which is what the industry is asking them to do.
Yeah, and you've got an industry hungry to really capitalize on this.
Exactly.
Yeah, and nothing's moving.
Exactly. Anyway. Let's move on to our regular features. I thought we'd make Apple our winner this week, despite the controversy about the headphone jack. And I think they're the winner because I think the iPhone 7 is going to do well. It's a good-looking phone. And they're going to sell tons of accessories, even if, you know, they're going to sell tons of wireless headphones and these new AirPods.
AirPods.
I think that's a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
They're going to sell tons of them to the Apple faithful. Even though I don't believe that what Apple did was in its customers' best interests, it did it in Apple's best interests. But we'll see in the sales numbers next year and in the results that Apple reports. But I think they're onto a winning ticket with the iPhone 7, despite the lack of a headphone jack. And our losers this week, and it's one of the questions we asked, SpaceX, and I think Elon Musk was tweeting earlier this morning, South African time, so it must have been the middle of the night in the US, tweeting that they don't know what happened with this rocket that blew up on the launch pad, taking with it the Amos 6 satellite, which, of course, was carrying a Facebook, was carrying a capacitor, well, the Amos 6 was going to be used by Facebook to provide internet access to sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
So kind of sad for us in this part of the world that the thing blew up. But I think Facebook will probably have another one on the launch pad this time next year, probably. Not sure SpaceX will be putting it up, but...
Yeah, look, at this point, I'm sure they've got everything is insured. It's just a matter of rebuilding.
It's insured, sure, but it takes time. It
takes time to redo these things.
It takes time.
And they've got enough money to make it happen.
I'm not sure Elon's going to be putting Mark's satellite in space next year. If Mark decides to do it again. Anyway, yeah. Of course, Mark Shuttleworth was touring Africa at the time. He was in Kenya when the news came through.
Did you see this conspiracy videos where they claim that it was something that flew into it, and some videos out there that are trying to analyze?
No, I didn't.
What are they? No, you can see on the video that there's it probably is birds and things flying past. Yeah. You can't see the distance.
Yeah.
And then just before it explodes, there's another thing that I think just because of the way the camera is, it looks like it's flying into it, but it's probably flying past it before it explodes.
Okay.
But it does look like something is going into it.
So there was a roasted pigeon.
The internet is rife with conspiracy theorists about this.
Yeah. Well, the internet's well known for that.
Always. Yeah. Always.
Anyway, what's your pick this week, Richard?
So I've been playing as a Adobe Creative Cloud user.
Yes.
I use most of their apps extensively during my day. I only recently started playing with their mobile apps. And I actually didn't hear any announcement around this. I don't even know when they launched. And I suspect it was maybe a year or so ago. But they're really good. There's a whole set of apps that you can download for your mobile devices, iOS and Android, across a range of from audio to video to graphics and sketching.
Okay.
But they work really well, especially the ones called Spark. And they aimed at kind of storytelling and visual storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
But the apps really allow you to do really cool things that I normally use Photoshop for. Like if you do a Facebook post with some text and graphics on it, you can actually now do it quite successfully from your phone. I mean, I'm just showing Duncan here, there's some templates you can kind of see the kind of stuff that you can do. But all the fonts, all the graphics you need, you can import your own elements. And it's really made for a mobile device.
Yeah.
And I can quickly turn around a nice graphic if I want to send something out to on my beer channel, or I can snap a photo of something, put some overlay some text. But it's got a really nice veneer to everything. You know, you can't really see that it was done on a mobile device, and that's what I like about it. So you've got this nice flair that Adobe brings to their creative tools.
Yeah.
On a mobile device, and Spark is just one of them. There's a few others. There's obviously Lightroom, Photoshop.
So you get this free
if you're a Creative Cloud subscriber. Yeah. You get them free. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And does it work on iPhone and Android?
I think it works on Android. It definitely works on iPhone. It does work on Android.
It does, okay.
Because it's on the iStore. You can get them on both. Might not get all the tools, but Lightroom and Photoshop and those things are definitely
Photoshop on a phone. I never thought I'd see it.
Yeah, I don't use Photoshop on the phone, but these other tools like Spark, they kind of just simplify some of those features. I believe Lightroom on mobile is got 98% of the features of the desktop.
Wow, version. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. Pretty impressive.
That's amazing. Lightroom's a great product.
Yeah, it is.
In fact, a lot of those, I've used a lot of those apps over the years. Photoshop is fantastic, of course. Lightroom, Dreamweaver. What else do you use?
I use Illustrator, Premiere, I use all the time. After Effects is amazing.
What is that?
You basically create visual effects for video.
Okay.
But this is the kind of thing you produce Hollywood type movies with. I mean, if you know how to use all the I'm still learning, but you know, there's so much you can do with any overlay on video.
What's the video app called again?
Premiere.
Yeah, that's powerful software.
Premiere, yeah, I use that all the time as well.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Creative Cloud, it took me a while to get used to the fact that you have to pay monthly, but to be honest with you, the amount of updates I get and new features and functionality.
So do you subscribe to the whole suite?
Yeah, no, I've got all of them.
How much does it cost?
And I've got their stock mobile app offering. I think I'm paying for every part of their service they've got.
How much is it?
I think now it's $79 or something.
Okay.
So I think I paid just over
15,000 rand a year.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm just working out of my head here quickly.
I mean, it's a business tool for me, it kind of gets invoiced in some way.
Yeah.
But for the amount of updates I've seen and new features, it really is.
Yeah, $79 a month. That's about just over a thousand rand.
Yeah, I think
for incredibly powerful software, and if you're in a creative industry, then that's a no-brainer. Yeah, I mean, just to pay that,
definitely. No, it's well worth checking out.
But the software as a service subscription model, Adobe was the most aggressive to pioneer it and to push it. And I think they just said, this is where we're going. We're canceling our traditional licensed products. They just canned them. And it's been a massive success for them, hasn't it?
But also remember when it just started, how many people swore they will never use Adobe products again.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, you'd pay 5,000 rand one off for a product potentially. Now you have to pay off monthly.
That's true. But you do get the latest
You do
updates.
Get the latest, yeah. No, I think it's well worth it.
Yeah.
It is well worth it. But yeah, those mobile apps, if you do have Creative Cloud, well worth checking out, because they make a lot of really difficult creative graphic video stuff much easier to do on your phone.
I was also skeptical about software as a service, but I'm a subscriber to Microsoft Office 365, and I like it a lot. I probably am paying a little bit more than I would have paid just buying a license previously, because I probably would have sweated that license a bit longer. But I like having the very latest Outlook and Word and PowerPoint and all the rest of it.
I do think we live in an age now where you can't really afford to run outdated software. Especially
true.
If you're doing it in a professional services way, because, you know, not just from security point of view, but, you know, if functionality breaks because of an update on your device, you know, you need somebody to be on the ball and push that proactively.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, my pick this week is something that's been around for quite a long time, and I think Rachmat, you might have picked it ages ago, if I vaguely remember in the Jurassic period when this podcast started out. But my pick this week is Cody. You have picked it before, haven't you?
I don't think I have. The name doesn't ring a bell. No, no. Okay. I picked something similar, but not this one.
Okay. So Cody is basically, it runs on anything, but it's meant to be used on your TV in your lounge as a media server. And it's really good. It's I last played with it about 18 months ago. It used to be called XBMC. And it's improved radically over the last 12 to 18 months.
It looks phenomenal.
It's really good, and what I really like about it is it's completely extensible. So it's got plugins and apps and stuff that you can plug into the framework. So it's really nice. I watch a lot of This Week in Tech, which is an American
the old Twit
video podcast. And for example, you just add the Twit plugin to the video section on the app, and you instantly have access to all of their shows, all their video shows.
That's phenomenal.
And it applies for a huge range of video podcasts available out there.
Audio pick up content too. You have on your computer, and you're able to use your music and videos.
Oh yeah. Okay, you can just index it. If you have an external drive attached to your PC that's got all of your media on it, you can just index that, and you just tell it, put all these in the movies folder, put all these in the TV shows folder.
And it seems like it gives you the kind of the thumbnail for the movie, and does. Pulls in all the info.
It also pulls in info off the internet if you wanted to. You don't have to.
So it's like Xbox Media Center was, but obviously just much better.
Yeah, it is XBMC, but it's gone way beyond the Xbox, which is where it started out.
You know, I had planned this weekend. Now you show me this. You know what I'm going to be doing?
Your weekend's gone. I was fiddling with this for hours last night. It's so customizable, and you can get so many different skins for it as well.
And it's free, I take.
It's completely free of charge. Yeah.
A lot of plugins here.
Tons of plugins. You can have the weather on your TV. From different weather services. You can plug in literally just about anything. There's a live TV option where there are thousands of free channels.
Nice.
That you can just browse. Most of it's crap.
See, there's a Beer Geeks channel, so I'll be.
I saw that last night. Actually, yeah.
Do they have Netflix and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I have Netflix. I'm pretty sure they have Netflix on there. Yes. They must have Netflix on there. I didn't specifically see it, but it will be there. It will definitely be there. But it works really well. Perhaps the only downside of it is its extensibility, because literally you'll be fiddling with this thing for weeks to get it the exact way you want it. So that's both its power and its downside is the fact that it can be quite daunting to go through all the options and really decide how you want to get your setup working. The nice thing about it is it works on a wide range of platforms. I've got a Windows NUC, or an Intel NUC rather, next unit of computing PC. It's a tiny little PC plugged into my TV running Windows 10, and I use that for my TV. But you can use it with Linux, with Mac. So if you've got a Mac Mini attached to your TV, you can install it on that if you don't like the interface that it comes with. It works on Android, what else, iOS.
Raspberry Pi.
Even works on Raspberry Pi. In fact, that's a very common platform it gets installed on. And a wide range of other devices. So
even just on Windows, there's a skin over your Windows. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it works brilliantly. Anyway, so that's my pick this week, Cody. It's spelled K-O-D-I, and the website is Cody.tv. Not surprisingly. Anyway, I think that's almost our show for this week. We should quickly do our quiz, though, Rachmat.
Quiz
do you
answers.
Want to pick up with the first question?
So one of the things I'm most excited about not is the following question. What popular augmented reality game is coming to the Apple Watch? The answer, Pokemon Go.
Yay. Question two. What did Apple's Phil Schiller say it took to drop the 3.5mm audio jack on the iPhone 7? And the answer, believe it or not, is courage.
Courage. A lot of social media debate sparked, and some very funny memes from that one.
Indeed.
The third question. Apple quietly pulled the plug on the high-end gold edition, Apple Watch edition. How much did it cost? And the answer, between $10,000 and $17,000, or in South African rands, upwards of 235,000 rand before taxes and duties. Sure.
And it's not on sale anymore, so you can't buy one anymore. What are you going to do?
That's a pity. Prices are probably going to rise, and,
becomes supply and demand. Yeah, they'll probably find in 20 years there'll be collector's items selling for $1 million. Yeah. especially if they work.
Yeah.
Our fourth question was, a SpaceX rocket exploded on the launch pad on 1 September. It had an important payload attached to it, which was also destroyed. What was that payload? Of course, we answered this during the show. The satellite was the AMOS-6, and it would carry capacity for Facebook to provide internet access to sub-Saharan Africa.
The last question. This week, the largest ever IT acquisition was concluded. Who was buying who? The answer, Dell bought EMC.
Massive.
Yeah, massive.
Absolutely massive. I think it was about $67 billion, if I remember correctly.
Sure.
By far the biggest IT deal ever done.
That is incredible.
Insane.
Lots of money.
Insane. Anyway, that's our show this week. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can mail us at info@techcentral.co.za or leave a post under the entry on the website. Until next time, from Rechid and myself, take care. Ciao.
Ciao.